Hold on, I am here. No, I'm not. It's a blank screen because I've not put on the thing. Wait for it. There it is.
Oh
All
my
right.
God.
All right, human
Is
beings of the
this real
internet.
life?
Is this just fantasy?
Caught in a landslide.
No escape from the Immaterial Gamers live cast. Hi, human beings of the internet. Wherever you're listening to this or watching this, you might be watching it live. If you are, you're a liar.
We see all. We know all.
Yeah, we know the average view count on this thing. That's just how it is. Anyway, this is episode 210 of one podcast per week. Because we.
210 consecutive weeks.
Yes.
That's almost as many views as we've received across these
Of the podcast
lives.
videos,
Yeah.
of the podcast ones. I mean, let's be honest. I don't know which. I don't know what is the biggest video that we've got at the moment. I think it is still the Yuppie
One of our
Psycho
best performing
ones.
videos. Yeah, one of our best performing videos is actually one of the first podcasts. But Yuppie Psycho is at like 1,000 or something, or close to it, I think.
Yeah. So
And that
a
is our
couple of
best
You Don't Know
performing.
Jack episodes that are there. That one time that we the
I
one of
wonder.
those episodes of Tabletop Simulator where we played Ruby Combat Ready.
Yeah, I wonder, like, if I just type in Yuppie Psycho, what are the chances that I actually run into our video?
I mean, it's
Because I
weird.
think
It's
there's even
all
a chance.
YouTube algorithmic bullshit, to be honest. So. That's the thing, and there'd be demonetization on YouTube if we got money off YouTube. Anyway, it's Ryan and Duncan's here as well.
Yo, what's up?
It's just how it is, and we're prepared for this.
Come on, Yuppie Psycho. I type in Yuppie Psycho and some VTuber VOD with
What?
79 views comes up before ours. There's one with no views. There's a result here with no views. And it's just like, wait, come on, we got 1,000. Like, that's not, like, it's not good, but it's whatever. I don't want to talk about it.
Apparently, I go, yeah. It's just a thing. Though, again, people see the thing is that Yuppie Psycho has quite a lot of views, but it also has a weird average view duration. Because you and Andrea did like full playthroughs of stuff and basically explained absolutely everything you were doing all the way through it, and the occasional jump scare. People would just scrub to the bit that they needed help with.
Maybe I can improve my odds by narrowing it down to the executive edition, because that was the actually good performing video. No. Hey, there it is. Hey,
Hey.
we're up there. We're in like the first 10 results, roughly.
Ah, cool. So for
Nice. Nailed
anyone.
it.
Yeah, so for anyone who needs their I keep looking at the preview
Everyone who wants a
screen,
walkthrough of the
not the
Yuppie
camera.
Psycho executive edition bonus material.
Yeah.
Go check it out. 3 hours. You'll get everything that you need and a little bit more.
Yeah.
That
And
little bit more
also
is us.
bonus jump scares as well,
Yay!
Oh dear, locker baby. Ugh.
Fucking locker, baby.
That's still, I'd like probably one of the best clips that we ever that's ever been done on that.
It's like, yeah,
You were just talking, and then I believe it was just, oh my God! You ended up you were close. I honestly, I could, oh no, I could create a video that replaces the, oh my God, from JoJo's Bizarre Adventure with your, oh my God.
There you go.
And I could also do it the other way around. It's also been like a few years. I keep getting it in my memory since I made a YouTube or made a just a video that I uploaded to Facebook of Boris Johnson being, sworn into number 10. Replaced his he was talking about the great achievements of his predecessor, and I replaced great achievements with "Son of a bitch." So just the great son of a bitch of my predecessor. It's just like, and then did a to be continued, because when he was trying to get into number 10, a bunch of climate protesters blocked the road, and And you just heard someone on the news just like, oh, all right, here we go. And then, you know, Yes by Roundabout played. And it was just like, was it Roundabout by Yes? Whatever, Roundabout played, you know. Yeah. So I did that. And, you know, it's a shame because I was going to do more of them. And then I realized, you know, that it happened. It wasn't a joke in a ha-ha funny sense. It was more of a joke as in a what the fuck has happened to our country kind of sense. So I didn't think of doing them. But yeah, I was just going to do like a whole series of Bojo's Bizarre Adventure and just all the clips of every time he fucked up. And then I realized I could have just done it for years. In fact, it wouldn't have ended like the mangas and the anime. You know, that's a thing. But
there you go.
Yeah, so what should we talk about? Like I say, we're prepared, you know.
Yeah, I know you got a. I know you got blasted by an ad from Facebook Meta.
Oh yeah, still Facebook.
Your favorite social media platform, oh, yeah. I'm sure.
Oh yeah, it's so tasty. Yeah, it's so popular that I've barely updated. I've barely done Immaterial Gamers updates on Facebook for how little it gets seen. It gets seen a lot more on Twitter. Granted, it gets seen a lot more on Twitter by people who are wanting to sell me their graphics designs, but it gets seen. So, you know, that's the thing. Yeah, but Facebook by Meta. Who cares about the metaverse? You, obviously, Zuckerberg doesn't care about the metaverse.
Yeah, no kidding. You ever have you heard of this? I don't even know. I guess it's supposed to be like basically like the meta version of like a VTuber music artist.
Oh, it's not Polar, is it, by any chance?
I am Polar. Yeah, that's oh my god.
Yeah, it just come up. I was watching. I follow TB Sky and on Twitter, and yeah, he came up with a bunch of, you know, it's like, okay, oh look, it's more stuff. It's like it seems to be let's just automate everything. Why do we need human influencers when we can use VTuber metaverse influencer?
Yeah, and it's just like you can tell that this is a total sham. Like it's a fucking like it's very clearly like it's like oh they boast like oh over 1.5 million followers, teenagers all over the world are falling in love with Polar. You look at the view counts on these TikToks, and a couple of them have broken through somehow magically. You know, a couple million views or whatever. But yeah. A lot of them are just like. Like maybe like 1% of follower count views, which is you know, that's kind of sus. Like you like let me just compare. Like you know, here I mean, just I'm going to go ahead and throw the shit in the chat. I guess just
Twitch chat.
So there's a link. So you can have just sort of a gander at sort of the average view count for a Polar video.
I have to go on TikTok, man, but. Yeah, I mean, look,
I know
yeah.
it's a painful experience. And you go to like an actually good TikToker, like say Mr. B. Dylan Hollis.
Yeah. Oh my God, I'm having to verify to continue by dragging a puzzle piece into a picture.
Oh yeah, TikTok top notch security. They don't want robots. Definitely don't want bots on Last their thing. Which is why Polar has a million bot accounts following them.
Yeah. Seven following. Oh, Polar is following seven. I got it. Yeah. Yeah. But I mean, yeah, look at it. Yeah, the whole thing's on this. Like, 16.5K, yeah, 398.3K, and then what? 5,000?
Yeah, there's some pretty, like, suspect low amounts of stuff on there.
I mean, to be honest, one is nightmare fuel of just the extreme zoom up that says when you don't watch my new music video, don't worry, I won't.
Yeah, you're not gonna.
You're not gonna hurt me with weird face mask, green haired virtual thing. You're not gonna do anything to me. Nothing at all. Anyway, yeah, get out of here.
But then you compare that to like actually good TikTokers. And you look at how their like view counts relates to their follower count. And this is like, Now, obviously, I know that this isn't a perfect metric. You got lots of YouTubers who have either significantly more, significantly less viewers per video than their subscriber count, depending on what kind of content they make, how frequently they make it, how old the account is, et cetera, et cetera. These are not perfect metrics. All I'm saying is that it's like, it seems pretty suspect that, you know, they're trying to post like, oh yeah, we definitely got 1.6 million followers on this account. Totally legit, for reals.
Yeah, 1.6 million followers that don't even watch the stuff that they're following for. Yeah. I mean, to be fair, so as well, it's like when you look at it, when you go back and look on them, they don't look any different. Like the same sort of weird animations and stuff like that. I mean, at least with the one that you've sent me, which is an example here, is what we got. B. Dylan Hollis is this. A lot of this is basically cooking TikTok, yeah.
Yeah, basically his whole deal. My sisters are huge fans of this guy. He basically takes like really old, like vintage recipes that are often like really bizarre or have really strange ingredients or cooking methods. Yeah. And he just sort of does like a 60-second recreation of that recipe. And sometimes they suck because old things suck and people didn't know what the hell they were doing back in the 30s. But other times they're like surprisingly good, and both results are fun.
Yeah. Cool. And you see, in that, I can understand. I mean, me, to be honest, I feel like I always keep saying I'm old man, not him again, old man Ryan. TikTok's not usually a thing that, you know, that does a thing. But I can see stuff like this, the niches, they sort of work. Polar is not a niche. It's the same stuff. It just is. Just the same shit, different platform. You know. So, yeah. Meta, met off. So,
That's
me. So, both of us, there's something that came up. You and Andrea had basically, and Andrea she asked to hijack a play session a couple of weeks back for the game that we still don't know how to pronounce properly. Is it Live Alive or Live Alive? Or is it Live Alive or Live Alive?
Yes.
Exactly.
All of those things and more.
Yeah, so it's the... I have to
sometimes just call it, like, Live Evil. Even though it's, like, not even close. It's just like, yeah, you know.
Live Evil, kinda, run it the way around. The,
you know, forwards and backwards.
Yeah.
The, what's it called? The palindrome method.
It's a palindromic name.
Yeah, so it's just like...
Well, I mean...
So that's usually that's what I often call it.
Yeah. but yeah, you and Andrea had started playing it, and you've gone through a few of the stories now.
We have.
Guess what seemed to have happened upon watching that stream? Guess who also owns Live Alive now? It's your boy Polar. Ryan.
Polar's actually doing a VTuber run through of it.
Yeah, TikTok's 60-second.
Yeah, they have 23 million followers on Twitch, but only 17 average viewers. It's very weird.
Yeah.
Very inactive community for some reason. Yeah. Don't know what's going on there.
Yeah, it's almost like they're all just there to... Anyway, so me and Steph both own it now, because I know that Steph had owned it, and then I thought, let's get into it. I looked into it, I liked the idea, and like I said, the guy who made Live Alive, Living La Vida Loca, also was the lead on Octopath Traveler, and I love Octopath Traveler. So... I've also started playing it now. Dog! You're missing out. For those who are only listening to the podcast, you're missing out.
See, his current mood is... current mood is...
And my current mood is... Anyway, yeah. Yeah.
Anyway.
This is the part where I be, unfortunately... I don't know where I am on this. Okay. I should say this. The concept of Live Alive, I love. Like I said,
love.
I play Doctor. I love the concept of Live Alive. the whole idea of playing what is effectively 8 separate stories, which then later on in the game will meld together into one big finale.
Yar.
This is where I'm going to go to. By the time I start to enjoy each chapter, and I'm in the middle of the third now, and the same sort of thing's happening. By the time I get to enjoy, like, you know, it's like, oh, this is where this chapter's picking up. It's over.
Yeah, it does have that problem.
And as I say, and it all depends on, because you can play the chapters in any order. I was playing them initially just from left to right, and then I've just backtracked a little bit to just start playing them in chronological order, for a sense. And it's weird because it definitely is pictured as a game of 8 like small teams that are just being given a brief of just say, you've got a game set in prehistory. How would you do it? You got a short story in prehistoric times. Make it comedic. Go for it. And then you end up with Pogo and the first. Mm-hmm. And I enjoy that. And I also enjoyed the fact that, you know, all the other chapters are, or at least so far that I've seen, are pretty much fully voice acted. I'm going to assume that sort of the rest are as well.
Seems to be the case, yeah.
And I love the sort of the unique aspects of every chapter. I mean, one of the others that I played was, which one was it? The Wanderer, so the Wild West one.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that basically in that entirety of that chapter, there is, what, 5 combats?
If that.
4, maybe, depending on sort of how you do. And most of the game is... It's just a narrative experience. You know, you've wandered into this town, you've just ran away from the local bounty hunter, and you've ended up causing shit in this town that really needed solving anyway. And so it's like, you know, it's like, oh, here's this unique mechanic. And, you know, so the fact that even gaining experience is not the same from game to game, or from game to game.
Yeah, you don't even effectively gain experience in the cowboy one.
Yeah. That's more of a way of like sort of trying to deal with a combat under pressure, because the idea in that particular chapter was you have a certain limited amount of time to find supplies for and plan an ambush, with the success rate of that ambush determining how hard the climactic boss is, with what I have known now is that there always seems to be some sort of evil person called Odio, or like O...
some variation of Odio, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, to be fair, I don't know how we ended up in a situation where, you know, I was like, oh, right, I'm taking on this big cult leader, or like this rival caveman tribe in the prehistoric, and now I'm fighting a motherfucking dinosaur. Where'd that come from?
Odino.
Yeah. Yeah.
Missed opportunity.
I'm still trying to figure out the fact that I killed, you know, Odio in the Wild West, and he became a fucking pink horse.
Hey, you know, everybody's into something else, and everybody's into their own thing, you know.
But then so I'm like, I like where I'm at with the current one that I'm doing now is the Imperial, the Sifu. He's like kung fu master where. It's a little bit different. It's like the way everyone else levels up for the climactic battle is that you train them by kicking their ass.
Yeah, kicking their ass, and then they just learn martial. They learn martial arts by example.
But yeah, I feel again I'm getting to that bit because I'm, you know, what is it? He's O.D. Lee, or something like that. It's just like the enemy on that. But again, I feel I'm going to get to the point. It's like right as I'm about to start getting into it, that chapter's going to be over.
It does have that limitation, because it's like, you know, it's, you know, altogether it is appropriately length for an RPG.
Mm.
But you know, you do run into that problem sometimes when you run into, when you try to create more short form RPG content.
Yeah.
Where, you know, the longer your RPG goes on, the longer you have to sort of customize your build, your setup, your party in such a way that you can be like, okay, this is how I want to play this game.
Mm.
You know, because I have all these abilities, I have all this equipment, I can do all these things. And the less, the shorter your game is, and less options you have, the less it becomes more of like a traditional RPG in that sense of that customizability.
Mm.
And the more it just becomes kind of like a puzzle, really. Like it just becomes essentially a glorified puzzle solving game where with some light RPG elements.
Mm. Because I know like some of the other chapters that I haven't faced yet, like there's the one called The Infiltrator, which is effectively a stealth game. From what I'm aware of, you're like a ninja and you sort of,
well, you can
it's
do
kind of in the thing. It's, you can
I mean,
fight,
you can make it a stealth game. You can make it not a stealth game if you choose.
Because I mean, that's like we say, that's also the way. It's like each chapter has a different way of dealing with combat. I mean, the base combat is still the same 7x7 grid. Characters move and act based on turns. Skills work based on areas and lines and stuff like that. For the Wild West one, a lot of the stuff is directional as a gun shooter.
Ryan,
you know.
Mm? Oh god, Ryan, you're dying.
I'm dying.
See, what's really interesting, Ryan, is that I can tell that you're still talking because it's coming through on the stream, which I have muted, so I have actually no idea what you're saying. But on my side, you have completely frozen, so I have no idea what the hell you're saying right now, if anything. Which is why I'm just going to keep talking until I can actually understand. Oh, no, the stream's starting to have problems too. I'm just going to keep on talking until I know that you've solved the problem, because I don't want to run the risk of dead air or one of us just kind of being all silent. Oh, there's Ryan. Hey, what's up, buddy?
Oh, hi. What happened there? Do I need to bring up the stream manager and just see what's happening?
Yeah,
nothing looked like it was going wrong.
You went to shit in the shit basket there for a second. You were gone for about 30 seconds of completely frozen webcam, no microphone activity, and when you came back, your quality dropped significantly for
very,
a minute.
Very, very weird. Very weird. Let me just turn everything on. Let's turn that particular line off.
Are you clicked off the screen?
Yeah, I clicked off the screen that time. That was... So, yeah, okay. I'll try again. Like I say, it seems that the bitrate seems fine on mine, so maybe there's just some... Maybe it's like what Terry had, and you know, a bunch of drop frames and stuff like that. So,
I'm going to create a little MS Paint project while Ryan's trying to fix his wagon, you know?
Yeah, if anyone else was around, I'd ask them to see if there was anything going on.
Yeah, we're going to do that, and then we're going to bring in the borders, because I have two screens, which means it's like 4,000 pixels wide. Oh, I can hear Ryan talking again. What's up, buddy?
Well, you should be hearing me all the time, to be honest. But
yeah, that's the funny part, right? Like, that's the best part about this whole thing, is that it's just totally not.
I don't know what's on. Oh god, we're apparently down to one viewer now.
Face. Alright.
Probably because I'm looking at the view manager. Alright, let's turn Firefox off completely and just see what's happening here.
Yeah, that sounds like a good idea. You should try and figure that out.
Uh-huh. I have. Like I say, everything's working on my side, so I don't know what's happening. Might be good old Canadian Rogers Ocalypse again. Because Terry's been having issues launching the podcast while he's been online. Or during these times of day. Let me push that again.
We're having some Terryfill difficulties.
Yeah. Terryfill difficulties.
That's slammed a hot meme right in there.
You slammed a hot meme. Where'd you slam that hot meme? The dev chat. Okay.
Yeah, there you go. That was just one of the many faces that you were frozen on for extended periods of time.
Oh, very weird. Like I said, there doesn't seem to be no issues on my side.
It's just something about that face is like all lit up and stuff. It's just something about this like pensive, like, it's like, oh, geez, oh, man.
Well, it sucked. That's what it is. However, yeah, so basically, I can understand where I can understand that Liver Live is basically the proto Octopath Traveler. And Octopath Traveler is, in my opinion, what Liver Live was brought up from. I'd honestly suggest that you and Andrea play Octopath Traveler once you've done with Liver Live, because you'll sort of understand the same sort of idea of multiple stories all entwining together into one major story.
So just like Live Live is the beta test for Octopath Traveler,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah, that's why I'm feeling now on that. Because like I say, pretty much same lead programmer of Live Live worked on Octopath Traveler. And the success of Octopath Traveler is why you've got the remake of Live Live. It's basically circular, like the story of Live Live, to be honest. I may have read ahead on some of the stuff. But that's how I feel about it. Now, how are you guys on it?
Well, I'd say that, you know, I think it's all right. Like I said, the big problem with it, it does happen to be that it has that issue of, you know, because of how short form each individual RPG segment is, it's like, It really is less of like a traditional RPG of like, okay, well, here is a series of escalating encounters that I'm going to progressively rise to meet the challenge of by leveling and gaining experience and gaining game knowledge and getting equipment and all that. And more of just sort of like, okay, well, here is the peg. Let me find the hole. Peg in hole. All right. I won the fight, won the chapter. We're good to go.
Yeah.
And it is like, it really does stand out that like, there is no like balance in terms of like every chapter has a totally different amount of combat, story, RPG elements, you know, a totally different take on equipment and grinding and all that. So it's like, sometimes you have like the prehistory where there's lots of combat and you can have many encounters. Sometimes you have the cowboy one where there's like four encounters and you don't level up at all. Then you have like the robot one where it's just like, I don't even know if you have like fights in the robot one. I think it's mostly just like a puzzle solving thing with like one big boss fight at the end.
Is that the one where I keep getting told that the people in that chapter don't level up in the traditional way and you augment robot stuff in order to basically get stronger? I keep seeing the tips in it, which here's my other thing as well. The game loads too fast. it's a big nitpick.
No, performance is too high. I can't. Yeah.
Well, here's the thing, it's like they've got these big wordy gameplay tips that they show, like, when you load between different areas. But I get to, like, I think the loading tips for the Kung Fu chapter, I think they're telling me about how to train your disciples. I see the word training, and then I'm on the next area.
Let's get down to business.
I kind of think I know where I'm going on that chapter as well. It's like, I've not got to the end of it, but I know there's, oh right, this big kindly old master of the earth and kung fu techniques and stuff like that. Right, he's dying and he's training a disciple. So I'm guessing at this point, because I know that sort of at the end, once you do all the chapters, you get a new mega chapter.
There's actually two. You get one, I don't think it's super long. It's like the knight chapter, and you learn about the knight character.
Yeah.
And then once you've done his chapter, then you do like the final chapter.
Of which that has various endings based on the decisions you make, is basically where I'm going on that.
Yar.
I mean, to be fair,
it's been a very long time since I've seen the end of that game. There was a dude, there's a YouTuber. Legitimately don't even know if he's still active. There's a Let's Player by the name of Frank-O-Matic.
Right.
Who played the original way back in like the late 2000s.
Right.
And
yeah, because this is the thing. It's a remake of a game from 95?
94.
Four.
But yeah, it's, you know, I watched his playthrough of it once, maybe twice. And that was the only time I have experienced Live a Live. I've never played it myself. I've never watched anyone else play it. It was like, it was just like this one random obscure game that no one's ever heard of or cared about. Mm. And then all of a sudden Andrew announced excitedly that there was a remake. I'm like, really? Of all games, that one, I guess. Yeah. Why not?
I mean, and, now that we know, if you like, say, if you throw the Octopath Traveler into it, you understand why.
Oh my god. I just had an insane realization that it has been almost as long since I watched a Let's Play of that game as, like, the distance between having seen that Let's Play and this release coming out is almost the same as the distance between the original release and that playthrough coming out.
Oh, God. I'm old now. I think of that. Hey. Jesus. Like,
hey, careful throwing that word old around. I might threaten you by telling you that you were old enough to play this game when it came out, if you knew to play it.
Yeah, because at that point, the time, the distance between that and my birth is probably the distance between that and, oh God,
94. You would have been playing video games by 94, probably.
Oh yeah, no, definitely. Man, I was playing Sonic the Hedgehog when I was like four.
There you go.
So
you're old man. You're old man.
Yeah, I'm old man. Old man, not him again. There we go. As we are. So that's basically a game that I know that we've both played. In regards to that, I mean, we also played, and here we go. Well, let's just call this based on streams that we've done and regrets that have been made. Here's the regret: putting the chilled tag on the game we played for play session on Friday.
There was nothing chilled about that play session. Whether you were winning or losing, mostly losing, but whether you're winning or losing, no one was chill during that play session.
Well, we certainly were chatty, because that was the other tag that was in there.
There was yelling, there was cursing, there was anger, there was occasionally there was excitement.
I thought you were about to say existential crises, because that was Andrea. Existential
crises. There was banging things. There was quite a stream.
There was certainly a lot going on, but I see potential in Turbo Golf Racing. I really do. It's what we've got on there, though. We have to sort of remember this is probably one of the first times we've played an early access game for PlayStation. A lot of the games that we've played have been out for years, or the formulas pretty much worked into, like the Jackbox games, or, you know, it's Minecraft, and no one can fuck up Minecraft. Mainly. Unless Steph's around with a lava bucket. Love you, Steph.
Nah, you know what? I've played a lot of games with Steph. Steph is not, like, he might do like light harassment. Steph is not a troll when he plays Minecraft. He is not. He's actually generally pretty good at being a Minecraft server partner.
Yeah.
So I'll give him that.
Yeah, I mean, that's fair. I mean, we made the joke about it, but, you know, there was like the odd. Just like the odd time. Let's be honest, there's more times than not where he's safe. You know. So, you know, that's what it is. Steph has just stated that he'll give you the money later.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, Steph is the best Minecraft partner ever. He can do no wrong, and I look forward to our next
line
game session together.
But what we've done on there, because Turbo Golf Racing is on Game Pass, Duncan and Andrea have 2 months of free Game Pass, and this came to me after we finished streaming about how we were probably going to talk about playing Pixelmon again or stuff like that. There are a couple of other party games on Game Pass that might be worth playing. Used to fans of Overcooked, yeah?
Yeah.
So there is.
Enjoy ourselves in Overcooked.
So I think there's. I don't know if it's called Far Out from the Space Lines or Space Lines from the Far Out, whatever the order of it is. It's basically Overcooked in space. In a sense, you are workers of a space line company, and it's a roguelike game. And so your idea is that you take your spaceship and the passengers from location to location in one run, and you do stuff on the ship to, well, keep the ship going, make sure it doesn't explode, make sure it doesn't get shut down by a health inspector, keeping all the passengers happy. But it's okay, a multiplayer.
So that's where the Overcooked aspect comes in, is the running around maintaining shit.
Yeah, and you can do it with up to four people, so it becomes there's definitely the Overcooked aspect of this four player mess, because obviously, like these games, they're going to go wrong, and they're roguelikes, so they're going to go wrong, and they're going to go wrong fast. But then it plays into the roguelike aspect of as you do more runs, you'll get more stuff to make your next ship better, and so on and so forth. But it's got weird stuff in it. But that's like one of the games that are on the Game Pass that's there. There's lots of party games, and basically we're on the idea that you've got a couple of months of it. There's the option to try a ton of shit out. So just something to consider, and then we can take on all the gyms in Pixelmon. Oh, sorry, that's a personally me thing. So there wasn't really much. While we're also here, there really wasn't much news that I saw. I see a review on Kotaku that says Digimon Survive is a painfully boring tactical RPG.
That's so sad.
Ouch. I heard of the Digimon types of games. I've heard Cyber Sleuth is actually probably one of the better sets of stuff in there. Just that I've never got round to it because I'm sorry. Even when they basically turn around and say this game's 50% off and it's still £40, that's
oh god, why?
Yeah, yeah. So you
know, we're made of money. And some people, some of them do. Some corporations legitimately do think we're made of money. Yeah. But yeah, Digimon is such a bizarre fucking franchise. You know, it's like you got a pretty good grasp on like what Pokemon's about. You know, like you just say Pokemon, and like immediately things come to mind, and you're like, okay, the basic like most bare ass minimal element here is people own these things that are called Pokemon. They use them to fight. Mm-hmm. Most of the time, that comes bundled with an RPG element, you know, very traditional turn-based RPG. Sometimes they do a little bit more loose format than that. That's fine. But generally speaking, like, you know what that's about.
Yeah.
Digimon is so weird. Like, they have done so many different kinds of games across Digimon.
Yeah. I mean, I think I remember playing one for the PlayStation. Like, the PlayStation 1, a Digimon World game. I think I remember the setting of again, this is probably one of those. Remember that it's one of those nope moment games that you like, a bit like Sword Art Online. You download yourself into the Digimon world, and rather than not being able to log out, hackers get into the game and are fucking stuff up. So, as a safety precaution, they stop people from logging out of the game, and hijinks ensue.
Yeah, they were all over the PlayStation 1. The Digimon games, they were all about it.
Digimon, digital monsters.
Yeah, the anime is on a whole other conversation.
Oh, yes.
I played a shitload of Digimon Rumble Arena. That was a fighter, basically, a Digimon fighting game. And all I can think of in my head is a game running at about 9 frames a second with Digimon in it, and just smack each other across the screen. Occasionally, you have to stop for like 30 seconds to perform an extremely lackluster Digivolution animation, and then you beat the other guy. It was a game that, tournament. Like, when you're like, you know, when you're a little baby, 8-year-old kid, it's like, it's the best thing in the world. I doubt it holds up. I doubt very much that game is at all enjoyable to play now.
Yeah, so next week on Play Session, we're going to play Digimon Rumble Arena.
That The best part of that game was the part where one of the Digimon characters narrates the opening title like it's fucking Super Smash Brothers Melee. He's like, Digimon, Rumble, Arena!
God, just picture him just now just saying, game! So did you know Sony bought out the new film is Bring Back the First What?
What? Digi-Destined that we never saw. Wow. My combination of knowing Digimon a little bit and being able to read Steph's crap carried me through that.
Oh. Incredible. I have no idea.
Well, I'm so happy that the Digimon movie is doing things. I don't follow Digimon.
In other news,
people that Nintendo I know follow and Digimon. I don't follow Digimon.
Oh. Just madness.
Speaking of like super like old jank fighting games, you ever for the Dreamcast, there was this I think there were technically two, but I never played the one. Power Stone.
Oh, the big four player bash.
Yeah,
Is this related to something recently that's come out that looks awfully like Power Stone but with kaiju?
Not remotely. Feel free to tell me about that story. I just felt like talking about Power Stone because it was reminding me of this memorable arena.
I was watching the recent What Happened video that came out this weekend on Lost Planet 3. And the thing was sponsored by a game called Gigabash. Gigabash is a game that's come out on Steam and all the other consoles that plays like Power Stone, so it's like four-player chaos combat sort of game, but you play as giant monsters. So the kaiju.
Yeah, it's King of Tokyo meets Power Stone.
Power Stone, yeah.
I'm all for it. Let's go. Let's fight.
So it's a shame. It's $34. £27.79. But it has a story mode. And there's other stuff. I mean, we could play multiverses. I mean, that's free to play.
Honestly, that does look kind of fun. It has been tempting.
Yeah. I mean, I was looking at it, I was wondering, hold on, everyone keeps talking it's free to play. Why is Steam charging me £35 for it? And it's like, no, that's the starter pack. In quotes, and it's like, no, yeah, you can piss off.
What is the starter pack exactly? What does that mean? What does
I don't know. Mean? Yeah, well, should we have a look? Should we do this before I load up our... the Founders Pack. Here we go. What do you get in the Founders Pack? You get 15 character tickets, a banner, and 300 of the bullshit currency.
Which that in could this be case a lot, called. Or it might be fucking nothing.
Yeah,
at all.
I mean, when you just tell me something like we have over 11,000 Gleamium worth of content, what is that in real term? I guess it's £32.99 in real terms, but that's if you search for multiverses Founders Pack, and. I always wanted a situation where I'm Shaggy and I'm beating the ever-loving piss out of Arya Stark. You know?
Yeah. Fucking LeBron James versus Harley Quinn. Let's go. Match of the ages.
Yeah. Yeah, Batman versus Big Jake Chungus. The dog. You know?
Batman versus Big Chungus. Let's go.
So with it being free, we could play it. So that could end up on a play session. Let's just say, do we want to play potentially strictly worse Smash or strictly mediocre Smash?
Hey, I mean, you know, maybe it is, maybe it isn't. We
won't know unless we try. So
you say strictly worse. It's like it's not strictly worse about it.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that it's free and on Steam and not on Switch and not on Nintendo Net.
Yeah, that's true. That's why we've not considered playing Smash Brothers. So yeah, because that would need us all then connecting Switches through to, or at least one person definitely connecting Switch onto their OBS, and then everyone else getting Nintendo Online, and then the friend codes and all that balls. So yeah, I can understand where you're going.
Nintendo is notorious for having like really terrible like online service.
Yeah.
Anything that involves like playing online in any of the games, it's garbage.
Speaking of garbage, Diablo Immortal.
Oh God. No, why would you do this?
Here's a link. This happened last week, but I don't know if we actually managed to talk about it properly. I don't know if I actually had it. There's been an update recently. So you know how there are those weird people. Duncan's read the headline.
I'm reading the headline and the subheading as well. It's just like, yep.
Yeah. Yep, I think we may have talked about this, but there has been an update. So just in case I haven't mentioned it, we'll talk about it again. People can spend a ridiculous load of money and sort of have to fully build a character, in quotes, in Diablo Immortal. Proper pay to win. You know, that's just how it is. And a YouTuber by the name of Jay It's All Business spent, in his words, 100,000 smackaroonies. Okay, that's not his words. That's what I call it. $100,000 to fully build up his character, which has come with a massive cost. At the time, there was an event, a Battleground PvP, of which his guild is the defending champion. And you have to win matches in the Battleground PvPs in order to gain points to go up the leaderboard and stay as top. He can't do that because he's won so many games with his fully built pay-to-win character that matchmaking is prohibiting him from finding an evenly matched opponent for him to join into. He sort of explains it. It's like the first few matches were fine, and now, as he quoted, I would say it's probably around somewhere around 48 to 72 hours, somewhere in between of that, only trying to queue for a battleground and never being able to get one. And what was better about this is that Blizzard got told about this and they went, yeah, exactly. They didn't say a word. The update on this, or like the day after, so that Blizzard didn't comment directly on his case, and they're saying, we're going to improve and we're going to put changes to the matchmaking system this week. Which is like,
I would work on that. I would maybe, if you have a system that where that's possible, you should probably work that shit out, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I feel like one of like the most basic, like, listen, I'm not a programmer, okay? Mm. I understand numbers are hard, but like, I'm not a programmer. But I feel like one of the most basic fundamental mechanics that you should have in any matchmaking system in a competitive game is that it should always be physically possible for the second best player to match against the first best player all the time.
Yeah, regardless of the gap.
Like maybe even like the eighth best. I'm just saying, like it could happen. Eighth best player if you're on a win streak, sure. But like, you should never be too good to match against anyone. That should not mathematically be possible.
Yeah, regardless even if you spend $100,000 a game. Yeah, which to be fair is up to him. If he wants to, in my opinion, waste that money.
There's something like beautiful, like. This is like almost like a yin yang kind of thing. Like this man and Blizzard have somehow formed the perfect union of like representing exactly like the worst possible people matching against the worst possible like company. It's like we're gonna release a game in which you can spend an infinite fucking amount of money to make your character strictly mathematically better than other people who don't pay money to do that.
Mm.
It's like, wow, that sounds like the worst game ever. Meanwhile, man spends $100,000 to make his character strictly mathematically better than everyone else, and he's mad that the game doesn't work anymore. It's like, you people deserve each other, both of you, man and company. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's a match made in capitalist heaven, apparently.
Probably. I feel a little bad because obviously he spent $100,000 on this and he was probably really looking forward to playing the video game. But it's just like, at that point, it's just like, just fucking buy your own small indie development company and go build your own fucking video game at this point.
Yeah, $100,000, you could sort something out and, you know, make a very, very low scale version of what you spent $100,000 on playing right now. But,
You could, with $100,000, and I assume that he has probably more, because why would you spend all of your money? I mean, I assume if you have $100,000 to spend on you know, Diablo Immortal, you probably got more than $100,000 to spend. You know what I mean?
I mean, like, but saying,
I'm just saying, like, if you've got that kind of money laying around, it's just like you could literally pay to some like people like game developers, like people like fresh out of like university and whatever who are looking to like work on a project. You could pay them to make a better version of this exact game if you really wanted to. At this point,
You know, it's almost like people don't have phones. Nah, sorry, I can't keep getting over that one. So that's that. Right. What I'm going to do is I'm going to switch to this empty screen. Nope. No, shouldn't have done that. Hold on. Switch back to the camera. We'll do it. It's going to break. It's time for our recurring feature that we call sit there and try and play Loldle.
Loldle.
I haven't got a name for it yet, and we haven't even got a splash for it, but we probably will. So I'm just going to go into my Discord here, and what I'm going to do is I'm going to share my screen, and I'm going to share this window. I click go live.
That hasn't completely savaged our setup, has it? Oh, it has.
It will have done, but don't worry, because what I will do is I will then go to this stream. Ooh, encoding is overloaded. Lovely. Lovely. But now we can see my web screen and Loldle. So the idea behind this, Duncan, is it is just like Wordle. You just basically... So we'll go for classic first. Oh, hello. Maybe you know what I should do? Probably click the window that's actually got the game on it. Not. There we go. I know it's a shame. Where's it gone? It's gone. Oh, hold on. There we go. Hold on. Window capture, not League of Legends. Give me 1 second, sorry. Loldle, here it is! Found it. Maybe. Oh, my camera's gone. Everything's going wrong. So you can see the window and you can see me typing stuff at least, right? Okay. Name any champion. Any champion at all. Zaya, oh, stream pause, switch. Oh no, what's happened? Everything's going wrong. Let me turn off this stream broadcast and try and bring up Zaya. So anyway, oh, don't hear Duncan. Oh, I know why. Hold on, sorry. Maybe I should go to stream. That might work. And then if I push the Discord button, I can bring Duncan back. There we go. Right. So Duncan, if you just say. You say Zaya, yeah?
Yeah, why not?
There we go. I'll have to just do this. This works better. It's just not working otherwise properly. Right, so Zaya. Duncan. Oh, Duncan.
I seem to have done very badly.
Yeah, you've got one thing correct. The champion in question has mana.
Okay, well...
And release year means that they've released after 2017.
So, okay, so that's okay. That's a lot of helpful information. So obviously this is male, and they're a melee character. We've got that sorted.
Yeah,
because you say you get a lot of incorrect information, but it's also like, aside from like the actual score, being told no in a binary situation is pretty much being told yes in a different language.
Correct.
So okay, so we're good here. We got male. They're ranged, or other melee rather, and they're newer than 2017.
Yeah, and they're also not in the bottom lane, so, or they're not a bottom, an AD carry generally.
Is it cheating if I open League of Legends?
It is cheating.
Okay, I will not open League of Legends.
So, I mean, okay. what you could look at on this is then try and find sort of a male character. I mean, think maybe the most recent male character or something like that. Get some more information out of the way.
I'm trying to remember... His name, the guy with the chains on his wrists. Oh, I'm trying to remember what his name is.
Silas?
Yeah.
Would you like to go Silas?
I think he's after 2017. I think he's newer and he's melee. He's male.
Yeah. And he's not from Ionia. So, and he's not a bottom laner. So,
give it a shot.
Okay, there you go. So he's not a middle laner. Or he is melee. He's not from Demacia and Freljord. So this champion was released in 2018.
Okay, so this is a top lane, non-human, male, mana-based melee champion.
That is not from
Iona, Frelia, or Demacia, and he's from 2018.
Yeah.
Fuck. There's probably like one dude in that fills all that criteria, and I don't know if I know League of Legends names well enough to be like 100% sure of that.
Mm.
I don't even know who was released in 2018.
I have an idea. And I don't think it's going to be true. I'm going to go with Ornn.
Ornn. Okay, that's actually a pretty solid pick.
Let's see what we got here. So he's not a top laner.
Wait. Okay, so it's a jungler, right?
Yeah, he's either a jungler or a support.
Or, yeah, okay. Huh.
Steph's on the idea that we are after a support, which means he's went through them.
So another melee character who's relatively new-ish.
Yeah. I don't know who, like what supports have we got?
Huh.
Oh, Martin's got an idea.
What's that then?
He's thinking Rakan. But I don't know if like no, actually no. Can't be Rakan.
Couldn't be
because he's a Bastion.
Yeah, same yeah, they're he's buddied up with Zaya, so they can't be together.
So he's been in two of the games we played today. Oh. Oh,
we're getting extra hints here.
Oh, do you remember that really annoying guy with the hook and the
Oh Pike! Oh my god. Pick
There he is.
Steph kind of helped us out there, yeah. But you know,
yeah,
we did it.
That's what I meant. Oh, that's what he meant by that.
Right,
you're after a support that's not a support.
A support that's not a support.
Yeah. What? So his quote clue would have been, "Let's see you get mouthy with a harpoon in your neck." His ability clue. Would have been Ghost Water Dive. I think we would have got it off that. Eventually.
Yeah, that would have done it for sure.
And his splash was going to be Project Pike. So that's just one of the four games that we play on this. We do have another. We do have the next game. Which champion says charge?
Isn't that just the ghost with the fucking platform ghost?
Charge! I feel he's one of two. One of those wouldn't one of those be like Garen? Didn't Garen go charge? Is that okay? It's not Garen. Okay.
Okay. Maybe it's Sion.
That's maybe. Yeah. Sharp.
I'm just seeing a picture like it's like champions that. Yeah, there it goes. Yeah. So it's gonna be one of two. It's like champions that charge.
This is great. Okay.
I'm pretty sure he does say charge though, right?
Yeah, like I think he does when he does his
ult. Like I'm talking about Garen, like I'm pretty sure he uses his Q. He's occasionally. There's probably more than one person that he says charge.
Okay. So we're gonna just try and describe this for the audio listeners. So it's a blue background with what are they? These like Wolverine claws?
Yeah, is that not Zed? Who is that?
Steph,
Talon?
Steph says it's could it easy.
Could it be Talon? Maybe.
Can have a go.
I honestly don't play this character very much. I honestly don't.
That's not also Sylas, is it? No, says Steph.
You say also. He hasn't actually been correct yet.
He says Zed. Really?
Has it said?
Yeah, apparently. Yeah,
okay, that was my first instinct. I was like,
Deathmark.
This didn't look like it. This just like the color seemed wrong. I just say, is it with like red?
Yeah.
All right. That's well, what hey, I we got him. For.
And then finally, splash. So here is a picture, or is a slight picture of the splash art. Every time we guess it wrong, it will zoom out. And what we've got here is what looks to be like, what is that? Like a giant, like, shield?
Braum?
Oh, because the thing with these as well is they're not always, this could be any splash art from any skin line.
Yeah.
So, yeah, so it's like got this green shield with a bit of, like shield with bits of green sort of poking out and shattering. What the hell is that in the back? Is that like a little rat or dog thing?
This one's kind of got me baffled. I'm not really sure what I'm looking at here.
There seems to be, in the corner, there seems to be, that looks a little bit like a Mercury hammer on the side. It's like some sort of corporate sort of thing.
Could it be Jace? Like, it'd be my...
It is not Jace.
Not Jace. What about... Oh, what the fuck is your name?
Oh, we'll have a look. At yesterday's champion was Zoe, so it's not going to be Zoe.
So what about Illaoi? I don't know why I thought that. I was like, maybe?
Good. It is not.
I associate her with a little bit of green sometimes.
Now that we're looking at this a little bit more, is that definitely a weapon? It's not a shield, is it?
I don't think it's a shield.
I think the bit that wears stuff that... Okay.
Man, I'm kind of...
Steph said singed. I mean...
We could try.
Well, no, I mean, if he said it, chances are it's not. I mean, we can get a zoom out at least. There you go.
Yeah.
A little bit of rainbow.
I'm not confident that I've seen this splash art, which is why I'm having such a hard time.
Yeah. Yeah, let's also get Swain out of the way.
Nope.
Is that now an arm?
Azir?
Maybe we're just guessing now.
Just throw names out there.
Vi. Nope. What the hell is that?
Is it a
I mean, that's what it originally looked like, and this is where we're at now. So is that a leg or an elbow or what?
I don't know. Malphite?
We might as well.
I'm so sad.
don't worry about this. This is the greatest thing about this is we've only got how many have we guessed so far? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. So we've only got 153 characters left to go.
I expected this to be the easiest one. This has been the hardest by far.
Yes. Lucian.
I don't even know where that came from. What about what's his face? Scarecrow Man.
Fiddlesticks.
Yeah.
It's not Fiddlesticks. We're getting more information here. He's definitely getting a lot more of a splash art.
Hecarim?
I ain't sure. Anything's anything at this point.
Bro, I legitimately have no idea who this character is.
I know it's not Senna, but we gotta zoom out.
Starts with an E, apparently.
Echo? Are these firelights? They freaking are. It's Firelight Echo.
Oh,
there's fucking gang from Arcane.
Man, you realize, man, that moment where you realize just how zoomed in you are. It's just like, wow, there was no fucking way. Yeah. We were not going to come close to that for like probably a dozen more guesses.
Yeah. And so that's, yes.
Yeah, so we probably would have guessed him at random before we got any meaningful information out of that. Yeah, I've never seen that splash art. That's why I have no idea who that was.
Yeah, so let's bring us back onto the main camera view. There we go. So that would have been, yeah. That, I mean, what happened on that, the history behind that, is that Firelight Echo was meant to actually come out during Arcane, and it didn't. It got delayed, like, quite a lot of Riot stuff does. Because as it actually turns out, and this is rewatching the first of the 5 behind the scenes videos that are coming out for Arcane called Bridging the Rift, Riot are absolute sticklers with, or they are well known internally for cancelling stuff up to release date if they don't think it will work.
I'm sure that makes a lot of people who work on the projects very happy and very feel very fulfilled in their work.
Oh, yeah, it makes them feel like they've used all their time efficiently, because that's what actually came up with the first episode when we were looking into this. Like the guy who Christian Link, who was basically the head runner for, or the showrunner for Arcane, Alex Yee was the writer on there. He talked about spending basically working with Fortiche. Spent $65,000 of Riot's money doing a development reel, or like a test shot, which was a fight between Jace and Vi on top of a building in Piltover. And the producers all turned up and said, oh yeah, this is great. This is absolutely great. This is what we would love in an animation. What's the story? And they went, we're shelving it. And that's where the cliffhanger for the episode was basically just turning around. It's like, if you, it all the fancy fighting in the world worked, but if you don't have a through line for all this, we're not spending money. We're well, and it's like the producers. It was interesting that actually, as it come up, how like the big head honchos at Riot were reticent of doing this, mainly due to their reason of, well, every fucking video game adaptation has been shit. What's going to make ours any different? Which is interesting coming from, you know, I guess it's, you know, we've talked about it to death, and I don't sort of go around it. But when you've got people just turning around, well, video game adaptations are shit. What makes ours any better? And that's coming from the people who generally everywhere else in Riot and through all their finger basically being, we've got the best game with the best people and blah, blah, blah. And it's like, you haven't. Okay, you've got a functioning game that is very well done and played by millions of people worldwide. Mm-hmm. There is a massive toxicity problem, and you know, even in your esports, there's shit going on. Don't even get me started on that. I feel I have to.
I'm not getting you started.
I'm saying that more to myself on this. It's like, oh, don't get me started. Basically, esports is still not mature. And we've had a situation that's happened this weekend in the LEC that, let's think of it this way. XL, my team, I enjoy him very much, ended up in a situation that turned them from one of those plucky teams into probably one of the most reviled teams in esports at the moment, and not due to their game playing.
RIP.
Social media manager currently suspended for inappropriate conduct.
Nice.
And
always good when the public face of the organization is the asshole.
Yeah. And you know, that's led to a bit of stuff's happened inside the business. Like it's asking quite legitimate questions on how much was known by higher-ups, considering the person that has levelled the allegation said that they sent this stuff to the XL higher-ups a month ago, and they went, not enough. So, like every other bits of allegations that have come out, it got posted on the court of public opinion, and looking at it myself, it's open and shut. It's a slam dunk. I don't want to go too much more into it, because it's also, you know, it's a thing, it's just involving my team, and it's not just not great. And that didn't initially make the most reviled company. Maybe trying to take over the social media manager's point of making real, turning banter into just telling your other team that you're facing on the match that you're absolutely a trash team, you need to leave the organization effectively, only to then lose the game against said organization, which, yeesh. There's a League of Legends champion that whose name would absolutely explain what happened in this situation. Her name is Karma.
Mm-hmm.
And I understand it. You know, I get the whole banter stuff and stuff like that, but it was a bad soul read, given what had happened 48 hours beforehand. Yeah, it's just like your social media guy has been hit, and this hurts because I enjoy the team, I enjoy the sort of the interaction of the players, the community on the Discord server that I'm in. Can't be beat. They're fucking cool. Well, awesome. I understand people probably have that with the other teams that they've joined the Discords of as well, like that. But mm-hmm. at an organizational level, there's like an implosion there that sort of left people questioning what's actually going on, especially given the fact that, you know, like the community and the support staff, and to a point even the players themselves didn't know what was going on until solemn JPEG time. So you know mm-hmm. what I mean by that, don't you? Just a Twitter post, just a picture.
An organization of talented, likable people to make content that you like that fell apart at the organizational level because of bad management decisions. I couldn't say I know anything about that.
Yeah. What kind of rooster situation could you put your teeth into?
Who else could cock up things that badly? You know.
Yeah. Have a bite. You know, you'll find out. Yeah. No. It. To be fair, I had my idea in that, and you know, that was the same sort of situation. It's just like, you know, these people, you know, you enjoy and stuff like that, just to find shit had gone south and south badly. I mean, Super Week's coming up. Hopefully everything will be fine. The assistant manager of the LEC team turned around and said, don't worry. What's happened was due to our end game playing. We lost. It's nothing to do with what's happening internally. I'm not fully convinced on that. Personally, there's no way that it couldn't have affected anyone. So that's the thing. But
wasn't this ultimately a segue from like something related to Arcane or something?
I think I was talking about toxicity in the base game, which led to toxic situations going on in the LEC. It was a weird segue.
It was like video games. It's like, oh, video game adaptations are bad.
Are bad.
I was like, oh, we have the best people and whatever.
Yeah.
And I think it went from there.
Yeah, sorry. That was a whiplash of a segue.
No,
but
I have no idea where that point was originally going to go, but the point you're trying to say is that
the fact that Arcane nearly didn't happen due to their, which is funny considering Riot just wanting to do all the things, the fact that this particular situation they didn't have, they didn't have confidence on, which was sort of weird. Like I say, the resulting thing that came out is something that we've talked about a lot.
Hey, you know,
let's
what?
Go for the fact that it came out.
Yeah. Hey. Yeah. You know what? I continue to have issues with Arcane. It's better than I said it was. I still think that one of the better decisions that they made, as far as like a conceptual level goes, is that they chose to focus the story on like the one part of the League of Legends world that is not particularly heavily involved in Magic, because that's what the easiest thing to do in fantasy settings is to just fuck everything up by having Magic exist and have it allowed to do things that completely break all of the rules in your world.
Yeah. That's why
you can have magic systems, but you have to be really careful about how they work and what they do, because eventually you just be like, oh, nothing matters because fucking anything can happen at any moment.
Because magic. Yeah, so sort of having what is effectively high fantasy steampunk is...
Yeah, you know, yeah, it's like very light.
Was a good idea.
Like their concept of magic in this game is very much just like, it's basically just like a generator, just like a kind of self-contained energy. It just makes energy. That's pretty much all it really does.
Yeah.
Don't
let Demacia find out.
Yeah. So I think that's smart.
You see, the thing for me is that, you know, of hearing people saying, oh yeah, Arcane was great, what other places would you like to sort of learn or stuff? I think the thing with Arcane for me was that it basically put in the giant holes on the relationship between effectively two characters. Everything else worked around that sort of idea. Jinx, the whole thing that was teased in the lore of Jinx and Vi was... we don't know why they're at each other's throats. Other conflicts that happen in Runeterra are sort of well defined. So, Demacia and the anti-magic and the whole mage revolt by Silas and stuff like that has been told. It's all in there. Demacia distrusts magic. Anyone who is a mage needs to get imprisoned. Problems on that idea, and you know, involve the idea of Lux being a mage and Garen knowing about it, but also having to hide that fact and realizing that the only way that they can, and this actually comes up in the lore, the only way that they can keep Lux safe is to marry off Jarvan, or to marry her off to Jarvan, in order to have influence so that they can't kill them. That's in, you know, sort of all stuff. That's all being told. There's no massive story about it. You know those conflicts. The reason sort of the Arcane worked. I mean, I don't know the tales of Teemo the Bard is if there's anything that could sort of come up on this, but you know.
I would look forward to, you know, and it's like I said, I initially had like it was all like poo-poo on Arcane. Mm-hmm. Like I really am looking forward to more of it. I'd be interested to see how they introduce other elements to the story, like if they just do, you know, the story of what's it called, story of Piltover Forever, then I guess that's fine. It'd be interesting to explore some other world.
Yeah, I mean, this is the thing that's come into this, and this sort of they've learned sort of later down the line. Unfortunately, on this, it's weird. To you and me, this would have just been, all right, this is a lore, or this is a tightening up of the lore of Vi and Jinx. Unfortunately, internally in Riot, Arcane is a universe just like all the other universes are. You know, like Star Guardian, sure, shit like that. Yeah. Which I guess whatever, at that point, that can plug in plot holes, because like one of them that's coming up is Camille, and how Camille is supposed to be the thing about Hextech, and how can she have all these augments if Jace was the one who discovered Hextech?
Yeah, well, it's just like, I mean, I'm not like, it's not as if I'm not incapable of grasping the concept of like different universes and different interpretations of stories. Like, I've seen superhero stories. Like, I don't necessarily think that, you know, I don't necessarily think that the Joker from, you know, the film The Joker is necessarily the same character that was introduced
in the comic book The Killing Joke.
Yeah, like I don't think these are necessarily the same people. Like I understand that like you could reinterpret a story and have different, you know, universes retelling alternate versions of the same story. Like, you know, Arcane is probably just one version of the story. I just want to see what they do with other aspects of the League of Legends world within this interpretation. You know, like I would be interested to know if, you know, like Demacia and Noxus will play a bigger role or if they'll just keep doing Piltover stories. Like, I don't really, you know, either way, I guess, I'm just interested to know what they do.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, so regardless of the universal implications, Noxus still seemed to be big warmongering, conquering nation in Arcane, as they would be as told in League Prime. So, you know.
Yeah. I still think that was a bit of a missed opportunity in, like, and like I can't even remember like all the specifics about how it panned out. It's just like I just seem to remember it being like at some point, like, I guess fucking what's her face, her Jace's
Mel
girlfriend Mel, she's like her brother like died or something in like a war, and
yeah,
because she's originally from Noxus or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like I just think it would have been an interesting way to play it, or like say like weapon like hex tech based weaponry like got smuggled out of Piltover into
Noxus to help turn the tide in the war against Demacia. That would be
or even just like if they were just doing like internal, because I know they're like clan based or whatever. Mm-hmm. like one clan, you know, starts to really like overpower the other ones because they got access to these crazy weapons. I feel like that would have been an interesting element to incorporate into the story.
Well, I mean,
it would have played havoc with the whole idea of like, oh, do we use to have tech stick to make weapons? Do we not? Like, do we need them?
Jace having here? A Tony Stark style crisis of conscience.
Yeah, exactly. That would have been.
We'll have to find out whether Mel survives or not, because I mean, I feel that would lead to character motivations.
I gotta be honest. She literally is the physically closest person to the exact middle of a missile explosion. If she survives, I'm gonna have problems with that. Like,
lock it up, the guy in Solari.
It was fucking like that's still probably one of my least favorite scenes in the whole show when Jinx and Echo fight each other. And that bomb goes off and they both survive that fucking pissed me off so much.
Well, the fact it's that like, Echo, come on! Echo with really, what? A limp.
Echo with a limp and about three quarters of a second of notice managed to survive.
But Jinx needed a magical transfusion. So, you know, it was one of the others. Anyway, if you want to hear like our initial thoughts on that, like say it was sobered up since then, check out the Arcane review videos on the YouTube. The whole idea of them, they were basically streams of consciousness not long after we'd finished watching the acts. So they were about as first impression as we could get. We've sobered.
I feel bad sometimes because I feel like you were having such a good time, but you're just like so ready to be like, oh man, this is the best thing ever. And I feel like I tainted your view of it. Like I feel like my opinion has like you know gone up a little bit on it, and I feel like your opinion has gone down a lot on it, and we've hit this weird middle ground where like neither of us are particularly satisfied.
You know
and
what?
I've and not I'm done, upset about that.
But you know what? I've not done since that. Something that? I should probably do. Rewatch it.
That's a good point. I have not rewatched Arcane, and I really. I would tell myself to do it again. I think when we were preparing to do like the final like 2 hour like all right, so here's the
final thoughts.
Here's our summary. I was going to do it and I just kind of stopped. I was like, I got to like the first scene, which is still the best scene in the whole show.
Oh, that's still the thing that was just like right. More of like, this, please. Like,
yeah, it's like the first scene of the show is like the best scene in the entire show. Like, it's not even close, in my opinion. It's so well written, even though there's like no dialogue. It's just very well conceived. And I'm just like, whether I loved this show or hated it, all I know that after seeing this first scene, it's only going to be less good than this forever.
Yeah,
so it was demotivating a little bit.
Yeah, it was one of those unfortunate bits where they set their own bar so high. It's like, how can you physically do what was that? Another what? 8 hours 59 minutes of this?
Yeah.
So it's just like you know, which we're still taking that into account as well. That was 9 hours of animation, well, there or thereabouts. You know, that's still.
Yeah, I should give that another go over.
Yeah.
Because I've had people that I trust tell me that I'm wrong and that I'm stupid and that it's actually better than I thought. And now I just got to actually experience that for myself and realize that, like, oh, yeah, it actually is not terrible.
Yeah. I've just a fork just flew across the side there. That was just me. I was trying to put my drink on the side and just knocked over a pot. No. Martin's on the other side, and it didn't go even a quarter of the way to him, so it's fine. So I think it's probably time to wrap up here. We've been going for an hour and a half.
Yeah. Well, you know, you bring up Arcane and bring up League of Legends
right? Yeah, we can't help but talk.
We're the biggest fucking League simps on the world that are not officially like branded League of Legends. You know that? Like,
yeah.
Aside from the people who are paid to talk about League of Legends specifically, we probably talk about it more than anyone else.
Yeah. And I don't even know how that works. So, yeah, speaking of League of Legends, Teamfight Thursdays on Thursdays, as it is, we're back on... Are we back on the Murder Bridge next week? I think we are. We just did TFT, yeah, didn't we? So
we did just do the TFT.
Yeah.
Which so I, and I won't be there.
Oh.
I'm working.
Damn.
It's not damn. I haven't worked in a month. It's nice to be going back to work.
I mean, I say that's probably someone who just...
My fucking bank account is happy that I'm going back to work. How about that?
It's like, hungry. Just give me that stuff. So we'll quickly go through the streams that will come through. If anyone's listening to this live, that's fine. If anyone else isn't, this is just what we've got going for this week. If it appears on the VODs anyway, and it's in the schedule. Monday, the not yet titled Monday stream, I am going back into Soundfall. Drastic Games did me dirty after... that's what I'm going. I'm about to like, they've just... They're giving me more content and I'm affronted by it. They're releasing a summer pack of 22 new songs, which has now come out 2 months after I did that video of the songs that to me define all the areas in the game, which means the stream tomorrow is me going through those 22 songs and deciding, or like compare, like, you know, like these are new challenges to the thrones of the biomes.
Why does Wednesday depend on Duncan?
Because Steph has two ideas of streams based on what's going on.
I'm working Wednesday to Saturday.
So in that case, Dull Play will be on Wednesday as Steph and Darius continue their crafty stuff on Void Train. I believe that's how it will go there, Steph. Tuesday. Thursday, Team Fight Thursdays, we talked about it. Friday.
I may do a stream on Tuesday. I'm really not going anywhere or doing anything the next couple of days, so I think there's a good chance that I'll bip in for a Tuesday.
Symphony of War.
Could be.
Ooh,
could be.
Maybe. Mm-hmm. Maybe. Well, considering what Fire Emblem did to you, that did you dirty. That's doing you dirty all the time. And Symphony of War, however, seems to be a lot more going on.
I'm simping for Symphony of War.
Yeah, Symphony of War.
Yeah, it's Diana's my wife.
Ah, there we go. Waifu.
I want her to marry me and then crush me with her hammer.
Nice. Friday, play session with whoever's around. Like we say, we might do stuff. We have ideas. Now, we've actually got... It's weird. It's actually now, we've got too many ideas. I never thought I would have said that for play session.
Wow. You're so awesome.
We've just got so many games. It's cool. We can do that. That's there. Some will save based on who we've got around. So that's that. And then Saturday and Sunday is the RPN takeover. As I continue going through Dragon Quest XI, which, what is game? It's weird.
What is game night?
Oh. Speaking of stuff like that, we're gonna get going. Give us a like or follow, or give us a like and a subscribe on the YouTube, and you'll know when all the VODs come out. Give us a follow on Twitch, and you'll know when we're streaming. And This podcast is not Dragon Ball 11. It's just because Akira Toriyama is animated the characters for Dragon Quest doesn't mean that. Anyway, you can listen to the audio versions of this podcast absolutely everywhere. Google Podcasts is the most recent one. It's on there along with Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music, all that jazz. Wherever your podcasts are served. And so, all that's left to do is say goodbye from myself and Duncan. So, goodbye.
Fare thee well. And I have no follow-up. See ya.